You know, James says, where do fightings and wars come from? It comes from that selfish desire working in our hearts that causes us to be at strife with each other. And so I want to let you know that sin is a huge problem. It's a problem why some of us can't get along with somebody else. Is anybody you can't talk to this morning? Anybody you can't stand? Where do those quarrels and fightings come from? It comes from sin lurking in our hearts.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour.
You know, I'm looking at these numbers, and to be honest, I'm concerned.
Well, it's been a challenging year, that's for sure.
There are some things we might have to cut out of the budget.
There are some things that we can't afford to cut out. Perhaps we could cut the number down instead of eliminating the programs. We have a lot of people depending on the things that we do.
I get that.
You know, we had this same conversation this time last year. We wondered how we would be able to keep this ship afloat.
But we did.
Well, not us.
There's an old gospel song that says, "I don't believe you brought me this far to leave me." Can I get an amen?
Let's turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel and chapter 7. If you thought we weren't making any progress, you turn around, we started chapter 1, next thing you know, we're in chapter 7. And I'm not sure, I'm not making any promises, we'll see how far we go in 1 Samuel, but I want to at least cover a few things in these early chapters of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7, and that portion that was read starting at verse 4, I believe, really speaks to us a word of encouragement that we need to take with us as we leave here today. So let's pray and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that you provide to us. Lord, help us to appreciate you. Help us to love you more. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you remember the story as it's unfolded here in 1 Samuel. Samuel has grown up now after Hannah had her little boy, and he worked in the temple, and he became a prophet of the Lord. And Israel was going through some tough times. First of all, they had their ark stolen and was, you know, in the land of the Philistines. They got the ark back. There were some battles between the Philistines and the Israelites. The people repented of their idolatry, as we see in the earlier section. And the Philistine attack had been turned back. It was a time now in chapter 7 when they were living at a high point in their experience. They had restored their relationship with God. They had come back to the Lord. And they were experiencing a high point in their walk with the Lord. And Samuel took a stone after all the trials that they had been through. He took a stone, not a little stone like this, probably a big boulder, but he took a stone and he made a memorial. And he made the memorial, it says in verse 12, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." And I believe that Samuel is shouting down through the ages at you and I today, reminding us that thus far the Lord has helped us. And sometimes we forget, we get so focused on the problems of life, the issues that we face in our circumstances, that we forget that God has been faithful and he has brought us this far. And so today I want to encourage us to also take a moment and reflect on the fact that thus far the Lord has helped us. And what I'd like for you to do is not take this stone and throw it at me after the message, but I would like for you to take this stone and put it somewhere where you're going to use this the same way that Samuel used that stone, as a reminder that every time you see it, Pastor Tony said, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us." And also, what I want us to do as we go through this chapter is there are some things that God has done for us that oftentimes when we list our blessings and count our many blessings before the Lord, we don't mention some of these things that are mentioned here in chapter 7. And so I want us to take a moment and take a look at some things that Samuel and the Israelites were reminded about how God had helped them, because you and I have been helped by God in the very same way. The first is in verse 6. In verse 6, it says, they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now, that's the kind of thing that we could just run over in our reading of the text, but I want to remind you today that when you confess your sin, when you confess sin before God, that is a blessing. It didn't come because you were so smart. It didn't come because you were so intelligent. When you experience that moment of confession before God, it's a result of the Spirit of God working in you, opening your eyes to your condition of sin before God. And it is God who has helped us to recognize the problem of sin in our lives. I think that's worthy of praise. I think that's worthy of thanks to God that one day we were blind and now we see. That one day our eyes were open to the condition that we were in before God. And I'm here to tell you, don't take that for granted. You didn't just stumble into church one day and figure it all out. It was the work of the Spirit of God in you. And you might not think this is a big deal, but I want to tell you that we need to value it like we value God helping us in any other way. In the same way that he helped you get the job, in the same way that he might have cured you from that illness, in the same way that we thank God for his blessings in countless temporal ways, we need to thank God that one day he opened our eyes to the problem of sin. You see, sin was our biggest problem. Sin was our biggest issue in life. And sin has cut us off from the fellowship with God and from fellowship with other people. And so we need to remember that we would be totally lost, cut off from God, if it weren't for his work in our hearts. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, we're told there that about our fellowship is being cut off. And how can light and darkness walk together? How can we have fellowship with our fellow man and with God if we don't have this idea of sin, being aware of that sin and dealing with the problem of sin in our lives? And 1 John 1:3 is another good verse that tells us that sin has hindered our fellowship with each other. And so we need to remind ourselves that this issue of sin is a big deal. Sin cuts us off from God and it cuts us off from each other as well. Our sin is a source in James 4:1 of all fights and wars. You know, James says, where do fightings and wars come from? It comes from that selfish desire working in our hearts that causes us to be at strife with each other. And so I want to let you know that sin is a huge problem. It's a problem why some of us can't get along with somebody else. Is anybody you can't talk to this morning? Anybody you can't stand? Where do those quarrels and fightings come from? It comes from sin lurking in our hearts. And so the problem of sin needs to be dealt with. And God is the one who's made us recognize that problem of sin in our lives. If it weren't for the Spirit of God, we would still be blind to that problem of sin. We would still be dead in our sins, blind to our condition, lost and not knowing it. And while the theologians are arguing about, you know, did you choose God or did God first choose you, or, you know, the chicken or the egg, and while the theologians in their ivory tower are arguing about that stuff, you know what I say? I say I'm like that blind man in John 9 said, I don't have all the answers, but one thing I know, I was blind and now I see. And we can be grateful for the fact that one day we were blind and God worked on our hearts and he opened our spiritual eyes so that we could see this problem of sin. You know, for many years, Lake Okeechobee hid its secrets under the dark, muddy waters down there in Florida. And it wasn't until the worst drought in Florida since they started keeping records there in Florida had reduced the water level, it dried up and went all the way down until it exposed boats and pottery. Even human bone fragments were found at the bottom of the lake when it dried out. And in the same way, it takes some kind of a supernatural act of God for him to open our eyes and expose to us all the stuff that's lurking under the muddy waters of our heart. And so I want to just have us just take a minute and just thank God for the fact that we are born again. Thank God for the fact that he has opened our eyes, that he has allowed us to be able to see. And every confessed sin, you might not have thought of it this way, but listen to this. Every confessed sin, every time you get down on your knees and say, Lord, I recognize this sin in my life, change it. That is a blessing from God. It's like an Ebenezer stone that should remind you that God is good. Now, you might not think of it that way, but every time you get convicted of sin, you need to thank God. Say, here's another stone that I can look at. And we should be able to look back in our lives and see a lot of those stones. See a lot of those issues that at one time in our lives we thought was not a big deal, but God opened our eyes to it and we confessed that sin and we put it away. And while that sin is not with us anymore, we can look back at that moment of confession. It's like a stone in our lives that tells us, you know, God loves us. God cares about us. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. But there's something else that I want you to see in verse 8. Look at verse 8. The children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So there was a prayer that made that God would save them from the Philistines who were gathering their army together. And I want you to understand that we need to understand the value of prayer. God has helped us to understand the value of prayer. And until you have experienced answered prayer, you're not going to understand the value of prayer. But thank God, he is a prayer answering God. And every time he answers your prayer, that's like another stone. That's a reminder that God loves you and God has helped you. And you know what? Here's what I say, and I've said it before because we've talked quite a bit about prayer this year. But, you know, God doesn't need you to pray in order to bless you. Did you know that? God doesn't need prayer. He doesn't need the institution of prayer to bless his people. He could bless you, and he blesses many people without that issue. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. He doesn't need prayer. God doesn't need prayer. He instituted prayer for our benefit. Because prayer is an opportunity for God to encourage your faith. Did you get that? Prayer, he asks us to pray so that when he answers our prayer, our faith will be encouraged. And the more often we pray, it's the more often we have opportunity for God. We give God more opportunity to encourage our faith. And so we need to be a praying people. We need to take everything to God in prayer. We need to value our prayer and give God that opportunity, give the Spirit of God that opportunity to come and to bless us in our time of prayer. And so we need to value prayer. And when we pray, God uses that as an opportunity to encourage our faith and to help us to see how much, in fact, he has helped us. We saw in chapter one that Hannah, you remember the story how Hannah prayed, and Hannah was able to draw a straight line. Remember, we pointed that out. She drew a straight line between the baby in her hands and the God in heaven. She was able to make a connection that her baby being born was not a matter of luck. It wasn't chance. It wasn't, you know, well, maybe the baby was going to be born anyway. She wasn't trying to explain it away. She was able, by her faith, to draw a straight line between the baby and God and see that God answered her prayers. And the lesson for us to learn as we value prayer in our lives and understand that God helps us through prayer is that we too need to be able to draw that straight line. And if we explain away the answers to prayer as luck or chance or happenstance, then the reality is God is just wasting his time answering your prayer. I hope you get that. And God is not, that's why he says if you don't pray in faith, he's not going to answer your prayer. Because he wants your prayer to be an opportunity for you to make that connection. And if you're not going to make the connection, then he's wasting his time. And so God has helped us to experience that value and the value prayer in our lives. Some of the answered prayers in my life are like memorial stones. And when I look back and see how God has helped me and how God has answered those prayers, I can look back and say, thus far, God has helped us. And it should be the same thing with you as you look back at those things in your life. I don't have to go any further than a day in mid-1970s when I ran into Carol. Happenstance, right? Just chance. But it was answered prayer that God has worked in my life to allow that to happen. I look at my children, four children that God has given you. They are each like memorial stones in my life that thus far the Lord has helped us. And it, you know, as difficult as sometimes those family issues can be, you can go through the valley of all that stuff and say, you know what? Thus far, the Lord has helped us. And I don't want to bypass little Alex. You know, he was staring. He was, and Taylor, yeah, but little Alex this morning was staring me down. I was saying, boy, I was thinking, you know how those, the game, if you stare and the first one to smile loses, well, he would win. He was just staring me down. I'm saying, wow, this little guy is something. But you know what? These, even your, whether it's children or grandchildren or extended family, you look at all that God has done in your life and you have to conclude, who needs a stone? We've got all kinds of stones around us to remind us, thus far, the Lord has helped us. I don't know about you, but I'm a witness. I am a witness. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. And so we like Samuel, you know, sometimes we need a stone. If Samuel would have just looked around and seen all that God had done, maybe he wouldn't have needed a stone, but he knew how forgetful he was. And sometimes we're just as forgetful and we need a little tangible reminder that every time we see it, we say, thus far, the Lord has helped us. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. God thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines. I like that. God has helped us to experience the power of God in our lives. And it might not be with a loud thunder from heaven. It might not be with a rod over the Red Sea. It might not be in the same way that he worked in some of the lives of some of the men that we read about. But I want to tell you, just as miraculously, just as greatly, God's power has been demonstrated in our lives as well. And we need to be reminded of that. Now, I can imagine that the Israelites, with their little army, they were like at the wit's end. Can you imagine a huge army, like multiple times your army, with greater weapons than you, and they're coming down on you, and the fear and the sweat that was being generated there by the Israelites? They were concerned about their survival. But God, at the crisis moment, you know, they say he doesn't always come when you want him, but he comes right on time. And it was at the crisis moment, right at that moment, that we find God moving in and causing that loud thunder to take place and scattered the Philistine army. You know, I have been at some of those crisis moments in my life when you're at the edge and you know, it's like God grabs you right when you're going over the cliff. And sometimes you wonder how in the world you're going to get out of this one. And God just comes through just in the nick of time. You know, in ministry, especially in faith ministry, it happens so often. I mean, I could tell you story after story right down to last month when you're right at the edge and you wonder, God, how are you going to do this? And the check comes in the mail. Amen. You know, anybody else been there with God? I'm talking about the power of God just at the right moment in time. And every time that happens, every time you go through one of those situations, sometimes those crises are generated by our own negligence. Sometimes those crises are generated by our own sin in our lives. Sometimes those crises are circumstances around us. But no matter what causes it, whether it's overt sin or negligence or just the economy or whatever it might be, God is a gracious God. He's an awesome, wonderful God. And he reaches down and demonstrates his power in our lives just in the nick of time. I don't know about you, but maybe you need to tell somebody, thus far, the Lord has helped us.
Just before we return to the close of today's message, we have an offer that will help start your year with a fresh perspective in discipleship for both you and those in your sphere of influence. It's Dr. Tony Hart's book, Table Talk with Jesus. The book explores the motivation and provision for following Jesus as shared by him with his disciples during the Passover feast. Stay with us for our contact information at the end of today's program. Here's Dr. Hart.
He's helped us individually. He's helped us in our families. He's helped us as a church. You know, I look at how far God has brought Monco Bible Fellowship from some of y'all weren't around at the American Legion. But how far God has brought this church from the days when we bought this building as a warehouse. And sure, the progress hasn't been as fast as my impatient mind would like, but the fact of the matter is he's brought us a long, long way. And I have to look back and say, thus far, the Lord has helped us. And I trust that you can say the same thing in your family as well. You know, there's a hymn that's in our hymn book, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And we sing the words, one of the verses are, here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. And so this Ebenezer is a reminder. It was a reminder of that hymn writer. And it's a reminder to us that God has helped us. And then we can trust him to continue to help us and to be with us. We all need an Ebenezer as a reminder of God's power and help in our lives. And then lastly, I want you to look at verse 14. Verse 14, he says in verse 14, then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath. And Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. I don't know about you, but God has helped us to recover all that the enemy has taken. Now, when you stop and think about that, that's worthy of cutting up the rug. That's worthy of shouting and dancing. You know, they might have to change the name on the sign when you grab a hold of the truth of that, of what happened, the experience there that Israel had. And it should be, as we look back at our lives, it should be our experience as well. You see, sometimes that we suffer loss, sometimes, again, because of our negligence, sometimes because of our sin. But God is a gracious God. And when we come to him and we confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and he's able to allow us to recoup and restore and recover all that the enemy was taking. And the fact of the matter is that we need to rejoice in the fact that God gives us back all that was taken. What he has for you, he has for you. And as the Bible says, you know, when you're walking in the will of God, that no weapon formed against you will prosper against God's will being worked out in your life. And so when the enemy steals something that doesn't belong to him, that God has for you, it'll come back to you if you walk in his will and keep trusting in him. And so you should be able to look back. Some of us today can look back at things that were lost and taken away, that God has recovered, some things that God has put back on the table for us. Maybe opportunities that slipped by and God has put it back on the table for us. Many, many things that God recovers and restores for us. And we need to thank God. Each one of them need to be like an Ebenezer stone. That we can look back at our history and say, you know what? You remember that? That's like a stone that says, thus far, the Lord has helped us.
We trust that you have been blessed and encouraged by today's program. And we thank you for listening. Your partnership with this ministry to help us with our mission of planting churches, preparing leaders, and proclaiming the gospel is greatly needed. Please visit our website today and let us know that you will stand with us. Remember to ask for the thank you gift as you make your donation, and let us know how we can pray for you. You can reach us at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. Our online address is www.gogfministries.org. Our office phone number is 215-361-8111. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Pastor Sam Butler, and all of us here at the GOGF, I'm Sheila King, reminding you that God loves you today and every day.